You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Grabbing the headlines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Anybody want to buy a newspaper company? You'd think, no, the newspaper business is a money pit these days. But check out how many people want to buy the Tribune. Gannett has put in a bid for the whole company, including the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, the Chicago Cubs. Hank Greenberg, former chairman of AIG Insurance, is reportedly interested. A couple of L.A. billionaires put in bids last week. So this morning we're scratching our heads trying to figure out why. Alisa Roth has more.
Publicly traded newspaper companies have been doing especially badly. Philip Meyer teaches journalism at UNC Chapel Hill. He says it may be that being a slave to investors and quarterly earnings is precisely what's dragging down the industry.
You can't do the things that a newspaper needs to have done in order to adjust to a world where information travels mostly by the internet.
He says private owners will have the time and willingness to experiment with the medium and to find a happy balance between print and the internet. Still, he says, he doesn't expect to see a return to the old model of big profits.
Well, why would anybody want to own a local sports team? Usually it's not for the money, it's for the local prestige, it's for the chance to do something good for the community. It's a chance to be perceived as a civic leader. And it's a lot of fun.
In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
With the election behind us, Wall Street can start worrying about inflation again. Last week, the Dow gained 1% to 12,108. The Nasdaq put on 2.5% to wind up at 2389. The S&P 500 added more than 1% to finish at 1380 for the week. This week, we'll get some key inflation numbers, plus profit reports from big retailers like Walmart, Target, and Home Depot. Toyota has a global master plan. It sounds so devious. It probably is if you're General Motors. The Wall Street Journal got a hold of the master plan, and it details how Toyota will unseat GM as the world's biggest car maker. I'll give you a hint. China and India. More now from Miranda Kennedy in New Delhi.
Toyota already has one plant in India and five in China, and it plans to build even more to manufacture cars not only for export, but to sell to new domestic consumers in those countries. Analyst Zafar Momin of Boston Consulting Group told us recently that, in particular, the Indian auto market can no longer be ignored, and Toyota has been faster to recognize that than U.S. manufacturers.
The Asian companies have been very successful in Asia. So, example, if you take Southeast Asia, 90% of the market is owned by the Japanese. All the Western companies have been there for a very long time. And I think India has now reached a point on the motorization thing, to a point where it's going to catch steam, and it's going to go to the next level now.
Vehicle sales in India grew by almost 20% in the last 6 months. With numbers like that, it's not hard to believe that Toyota plans to use India and other developing countries to beat back its American rivals. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
This is Marketplace. For a look back at this week in business history, let's open the Marketplace vault. And we find a little machine that made a big splash on Wall Street.
This week, back in 1867, the first stock ticker was unveiled in New York City. Before then, getting stock prices took a while. Information was passed by mail or messenger. The ticker got prices to people instantly over telegraph wires. The market started moving faster as investors got wind of trends more quickly. The ticker was invented by Edward Callahan. A couple of years later, Thomas Edison got his hands on the machine and patented his own improved version. It was Edison's first lucrative invention. The ticker ruled the roost for nearly a century, until it was replaced by electronic displays in the 60s. The ticker is considered the grandfather of the computer printer and of the ticker tape parade. The first such event took place during the dedication of the Statue of Liberty in 1886. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
In theory, investors like it when Republicans are in power. There's less chance of costly regulation on industries such as the pharmaceutical business. But in reality, says Newsweek's Alan Sloan, what matters is not who's in control of Congress, but that nothing gets done in Washington.
If you talk to what I consider some of the more realistic people, their opinion is, if you have gridlock in Washington, it means the government won't mess up the economy, so things will be okay. If you talk to people from the drug companies or, you know, some specific industries, or I suppose the defense companies, you know, they're telling you it's the end of life on the planet and it's going to be terrible and the drug companies are going to get hammered. And it depends really on where you sit. And there are a few industries, you know, whose stocks may be harmed by this. I don't know. But I think, you know, if you can get some of these guys drunk and you know, promise not to quote them, I think generally many of them, especially the credit analysts, are relieved.
When people talk about gridlock, I mean, usually that's, you know, a criticism of Washington. But here we are talking about Wall Street, and Wall Street seems to think that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Why is that?
Well, it depends, you see, on how you define gridlock. If you think of gridlock as you sit in traffic and it takes you 3 hours to go a block and you're honking your horn and going mad, that's bad, right? That's frustrating. But if you say, which is what they say on Wall Street and what I happen to think, that we have in the United States a marvelous economy and probably the greatest collection of talent on the planet, you know, economic, industrial, if we'd only let them do their jobs, that if the government doesn't mess things up, things will go well. And gridlock, to me, means it's much harder for the government to mess things up. It's like in math, a zero is better than a negative.
And in terms of how much influence Congress and Washington have on what's happening on Wall Street anyway, I mean, do investors really care that much?
In the long run, what happens on Wall Street reflects what happens in the country. I mean, Wall Street doesn't drive the country. It may be a leading indicator. It may do things in anticipation of stuff, but Wall Street doesn't drive the economy of the country. The economy in the country drives Wall Street. If the economy is better than it would otherwise be, it means down the road, Wall Street is better than it would otherwise be. Politics are really, in the end, not that important to the functioning of the economy. On the margins, it means something, but fundamentally, it's a follower, not a leader.
All right, Alan, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Scott.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.